Hi, I'm Ruthie, and I have a recorder. Tune in Wednesdays from 4 to 5 to Out There. We'll meet people and plants around the streets and paths of Northampton, and we'll think about ways we can share the world. Here on Valley Free Radio, or archived online at weatherbeer.com/out there. Get out if you can. But if you can't get out, tune in. We don't care if they laugh at us. Let them take the bus and need a sickle for us. They can have the Cadillac and T-Bud too. But give me my rocket bicycle for two. And that's today. It's Wednesday, February 15th. I had to think for a minute, but then I remembered yesterday, Tuesday, when I was downtown. Tuesday morning, I saw the rose petals strewn all along the sidewalk on Main Street from coming up from Crafts Ave, I believe, from the flower shop there, because it was Valentine's Day. Happy belated Valentine's Day, everyone. So I've been gone the last 3 weeks, I think. I went to Kentucky to see my family, but I also went to the Women's March on Washington that happened on January 21st, the day after the inauguration. And so for today's show, I have some clips from the Women's March, which were very exciting at the time, but so much has transpired since the inauguration that it doesn't seem as exciting anymore. Anyway, so I've got clips from that for probably like the first half of the show, maybe a little bit longer. And I also have, I've got a little interview with a person in Middlesbrough, Kentucky, holding the Liberty Tax sign. And maybe you've seen people this time of year in front of some of the tax help offices. We almost got to talking about war tax resistance. We kind of did. Anyway, so I have that little clip. And then also maybe a little bit of music and part of the sermon from Reverend Samuel Wansley of Mount Moriah Baptist Church in Middlesbrough talking about walls. So let's go. So the march. So the first part of the show. Like I said, it's from the Women's March. These were all recorded on January 21st, 2017. I went there with a bunch of friends, a couple of vans that we rented, and we drove down to D.C. And our friend Zoe, her grandma, had moved out of a house in D.C., a humongous house, and like 30 of us just slept on the floor in the house. And we went to the march. Annie, what's your sign say?
My sign says collective wisdom, not individual action. And the other sign says we need a president who reads books, and I can't believe I had to make this sign.
any inspiration for your signs?
While I was making the collective wisdom sign, which, I don't know, inspiration is just like, I guess, the way that I'm living and trying to live even more and feeling that it's really the way we need to go in this world. And then seeing like who Trump's appointing and feeling like they're not going to act in a collective wisdom kind of way at all, and being enraged by that. And then as I was making that sign, I was really thinking like, man, I can't believe I have to make this sign. and as
it's
I was,
not obvious.
As I was expressing this, or that we even have to come here to march, because it's actually like this happened, you know, that Trump is our president and all these ridiculous people are being appointed to really important positions. Yeah, I was like, I can't believe I had to make this sign. And then someone else, Meg, who was making the signs with us, was like, oh, look at this. Is this what you mean? And showed me the, we need a president who reads books. Woo!
How's it feel to be here today?
It feels like a bunch of people who, you know, are angry and and afraid are together to create hope and show each other that there's a mass of people to make change.
Winking. How do you feel about being here today?
I feel great. Grew up in China, I never had a chance to be in a rally, to be in a protest like this, you know, so I'm very grateful, very happy to be here. And I hope everyone would take this chance to express themselves.
Why do you think it's important for people to come to things like this?
Well, again, that's the way to express their opinion. That's a way to show democracy. And I think that's very important for us to speak up.
What's your sign say? What do your signs say?
My sign, one side says Black Lives Matter, and then the other sign says Make America Brown Again. Tanning beds don't count, nor do brown clothes or scorched earth policies. Try desegregation, immigration, intermarry, white people quit having babies. I got a lot of comment from this sign, which is Ruthie made it.
Sure. Rochelle, can you tell me about your sign?
This one says, Rise and Shine and Call Your Reps. And I didn't make it. It was that came from a sign-making party. My brother's carrying my sign today.
What's your sign say?
My sign says, Respect existence or expect resistance, and you can try to divide. We will rise and unify. I was excited about this sign. I think there's just like a lot of messaging that's happening today that's really about empowerment, and I think this had just a unique perspective of, okay, let's take that empowerment and let's take those ideas and act. And I was excited about seeing something that kind of pushed us to that next step.
What is your feeling right now?
Well, sometimes I get like claustrophobic when I'm in huge crowds. There's a lot of people here, but it's just a really awesome crowd that I just want to be like hugged into. Yeah, so it's really nice to be amongst all these people that are smiling with serious, thoughtful, and funny and ridiculous signs and pictures. Like the one I just saw that said impeach, and it had a peach that looked like it had a toupee that looked like Donald Trump's haircut.
Yeah. Go ahead. Okay. What did your sign say?
I've got two signs, but the one that I'm showing off the most is the one that says, Erection does not equal protection. And then it's got like a little picture of a wall. It says no wall underneath it. And I thought that would be a nice thing for a women's march with themes about like abortion and birth control and like protection having to do with that. And erections. And then, you know, they say about erecting the wall. But he's going to erect a wall, blah, blah. Anyway. So, yeah. So I just wanted something that would make people laugh and be like inclusive. So far it's working.
That's great. I love the sign. What's the other end?
The other sign. The other end it's an acronym. It says work, heal, act together to have equity, freedom, understanding, compassion, and kindness. But it's, if you look at the letters, the big letters, the beginning letters of each word, it says, what the fuck? I can't say that on the radio.
What kind of message do you want to tell people? What kind of message do you want to bring it home?
Well, I wanted to have a positive message, not just be boo-hoo you. A positive message suggesting things that we can do on a really personal level. Sometimes it's hard to affect the appointees or our elected representatives, which of course we should try to do that too, but even if we can't do that, we should still like work hard and like heal. I'm just thinking about just trying to listen to people who voted for Trump and who support him, and
and trying to find some kind of connection, understanding as well, understanding, compassion, kindness, hopefully so that we can all have freedom and equity together.
That's a lot of the words in the sign.
I think I might have something else. Oh, yeah. And then the what the... It's just like... How... Just sort of sharing the sentiment I think that a lot of people have. Just like, how did this happen? And how do we not turn into a total fascist state where capitalism controls everything, even when it already does?
Yeah. Thank you. That was great.
Thank you for your questions.
Oh, my God. This is the new national anthem.
Yep. Atlantic and Pacific flow. The Great Lakes and Gulf of Mexico. The land between sustains us all. To cherish it, our tireless call. Arise, arise. I see the future in your eyes. To a more perfect union we aspire, and lift our voices from the fire.
Perfect.
I'm going to actually play the Gene Rowe version of this song. So at that time, I think that was like me and Clarissa and Rochelle and Annie. We were singing. We didn't know the words, but Lingang looked them up on his computer phone. But here's the Gene Rowe who wrote this song. Here's her version of the new national anthem. A new national anthem.
Atlantic and Pacific floor, the Great Lakes and the Gulf of Mexico. The land between sustains us all. To cherish it, our tireless call. Arise, arise. I see the future in your eyes. To a more perfect union we aspire, and lift our voices from. From the fire. Arise. civility, to be guardians of our liberty, till tyrants bow to the people's dream, and justice flows like a mighty stream. Arise, arise, I see the future in your eyes, to a more perfect union we aspire. And lift our voices from the fire.
Not bad.
Not bad.
The cheer.
Yes, I know, it's so good.
So you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. I've been playing clips from the Women's March on Washington that I was at on January 21st, 2017. That song was written by Jean Roe. And, oh, she wrote it as a national anthem, a new national anthem. I should also mention there are other national anthems, like the Black National Anthem, Lift Every Voice and Sing. All right, I'm going to go back to interviews from the march.
We prepared for this moment.
Yes, okay, so we're all from Ohio State, and then we all have, like, individual reasons why we're here. And kind of my thought process around it was, like, we are close enough, and then it was, like, I just kind of asked all my friends, like, would anyone be able to take me here? And it's, like, there's no reason not to be here. Like, there's no reason not to stand with everyone and to show that, like, you support something good when all sorts of, like, bad stuff is happening. And it's, like, to me, it just makes common sense that, like, we're fighting for equality and equity and things that everyone should deserve.
My sister is African-American, so I'm standing for all POCs, immigrants, LGBTQ plus community. I stand for women and I stand for equality, so what better place to be than here?
I'm just here because women are victims of structural and physical violence every day, and I love all of us, and I'm here to stand up for that.
Tell me about your hope for the future.
That's a good one. My hope for the future, Trump is impeached, ideally.
I hope for, like, more, like, women to get equal representation, just, like, no matter, like, what it is, and, like, all sorts of, and it's not just women, but it's all different, like, minority and ethnic groups and, like, all sorts of different people, you know, that's including, like, the LGBTQ plus community, and all just, like, all sorts of things, like, and just for everyone to get equal rights and stuff. I've done a lot of work with, like, kids who've been in, like, foster care, and then, like, children and women who've been, like, victims of violent crime. And it's just, like, when you think about this stuff, it's just, like, why don't they have these rights? Why don't we have these resources? And trying to make sure that those resources that we've been, like, starting to create through this Obama administration don't just all go away. And if they go away for 4 years, then we can go back and we'll bring them back, and then we'll make them better than ever.
I would say providing resources to all facets of the United States, South, North, West, East, just so that something like this never happens again, because I just don't think that people have the resources or the ability to, like, understand why he's bad, and they're not educated in certain areas to, like, learn that the things that he's saying and the things that he's doing, the policies he's making, isn't benefiting them or anybody else around them. I hope for the future.
In the future, I just want women to be more connected, to show support for each other more. And I want more of a community of womanhood, which hopefully happens.
I hope that the world stops creating refugees, and the refugees that we have now, I hope that our country accepts them, not just into the country physically, but in terms of helping get them educated, giving them the resources they need, getting them in safe, clean, affordable homes, helping them learn the job skills that they need to survive here and what that looks like. So essentially, I'm hoping for world peace, but I will settle for accepting all refugees into our country and helping them in every way.
I think I would love to see a deeper fundamental understanding of this entire process for every different, like, all parts of the United States. I feel like there are misconceptions and misunderstandings that are extremely generational, and there's not a lot of right, exactly. That I think that's kind of the way to how we get to the world peace kind of thing. So, like, I would like to see that happen so that we eventually get to that world peace thing.
Yeah.
That hopefully still exists.
Yeah, thoughts on how to bridge the cultural
right.
divide?
Right. Yeah. So we're from Appalachia, Rust Belt area that's deeply afflicted, and it's Trump country. And I really feel for my hometown. So I'm lucky to be able to see where this comes from, where this, you know, Trumpism comes from. And I think the only way we're going to bridge it is if we listen and validate those experiences as well. From what I've seen on the left, we have really become inclusive in terms of color, gender, sexuality, immigrant status, all of these things. But we are still failing to recognize that, you know, white people are also struggling in many ways, and they don't need to be mutually exclusive issues. My hometown doesn't have jobs. They don't have resources. No one cares about them. They're invisible. And the American dream isn't real for them anymore. And that's really sad. So to them, going back to the 50s when they had jobs and people knew who they were, like, that's what they want, and that's where Trump came from. So we genuinely have to listen to each other and empathize.
Where are you from?
Chillicothe, Ohio.
It's cognitive inflexibility on both sides, where it's an us versus them, and there's no understanding. And one is evil and the other is good, and that's not going to help anybody.
Are you all involved in any, like, programs or projects that work towards that?
We're both social work majors, so, and she's going into
macro
policy.
We're social workers, and I do policy work specifically around refugees in Ohio, and then I worked in D.C. doing women's issues like paid family medical leave and labor laws that will promote gender equity in the workplace.
My sorority's philanthropic endeavor is domestic violence, so we volunteer at this organization in Columbus called Choices, and it's basically a safe haven for women to bring their children getting out of, like, domestic abuse households, so do a little bit of that.
You want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name's Leah Urig. I am a senior at Ohio State.
It's because you talk the most.
That tends to be how it works.
Yeah.
So those are students from Ohio State that were at the Women's March on Washington on January 21st. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I've got some more clips from the march. What they were saying, what one of the women were saying, reminds me about a quote that I read when I was home in Kentucky a few weeks ago. This was written by someone in Knoxville, Tennessee, and they're saying that that Trump got elected, it's not a sign of people's ignorance, but of their desperation. And so next, I got some clips talking about just recordings of chants and signs and things. And then actually after the Women's March on that day, on Saturday, a couple of people, Julie and Jake, that were part of my group, ended up having this long, like a 3-hour conversation with some Trump supporters that were at the march. So they'll talk about that coming up soon in about 4 minutes.
Love, not hate, makes America great. Love, not hate, makes America great. Love, not hate, makes America great.
Sign that says Control Z, Control Z, Control Z, Control Z, Control Z. Computer lingo written all over it. Because women are 50% of the population, 5% of Congress, and 0% of cabinet appointments is why we march. Now is the time to lift our national policy from the quicksand of racial injustice to the solid rock of human dignity. Martin Luther King. Loose tweets sink fleets.
Nasty women get it done. 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 Nasty women get it done.
No fear. Immigrants are welcome here. No hate. No fear. Immigrants are welcome here. No hate.
I am not free while any woman is unfree. Audre Lorde.
They've got it all blocked off with white vans and police officers. You can't get any further.
You have to go back and left.
Take a left on Constitution.
Right there. Right there. Okay.
Can I interrupt? Can I ask you to describe the mood here today?
With verve. There's verve.
It's interesting. It's like kind of chill, but I think it's a lot of like chill in a good way and chill in a people are kind of like a little bit reserved, but I think it's because there's so many people here who have never marched before.
Uh-huh.
So they're a little bit reserved, but it's awesome that yeah. there's so many people who have never marched before. They're taking, they came. And as we figure out that the numbers like were rising and rising, as we were hearing the numbers, there was like this excitement of like, oh my God, there's 500,000. Oh my God, there may be 1,000,000, you know?
Yeah. Can you describe the mood here today?
Very excited. feel like an American now.
So this march was huge. They were expecting, I think, like 250,000 people, but there were at least 500,000 there. And this was like on the mall of, you know, the mall in the of the Capitol in Washington, D.C. And apparently there was a stage with speakers and things like that. But where we were back on the streets, several hundred thousand people back, I couldn't see it, couldn't hear it, didn't really even know. We were basically standing in the street from 10 a.m. till about 3 p.m., and like marching or, you know, walking for some of that. But for a lot of it, we were just like standing around milling, just milling, 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 reading people's signs and like chit-chatting and just enjoying the mood, I guess. Oh, yeah, here's a little clip it.
Stand up, fight back.
Thank you for your anti-war support for the
law. We were made for these times.
This is what democracy looks like.
Show me what democracy.
I'm Julie Erickson.
I'm Jake Last.
So after yesterday's, what do you call it? Demonstration?
Women's March on Washington.
Women's March on Washington. You ended up talking with some Trump supporters for a while. How did that come about? How did you initiate that conversation with them?
Well, we were, after leaving the sort of final site of the march where people were laying down their signs, kind of like a vigil.
By the White
we,
House.
Yeah, we walked around to see if we could see the back of the White House on G Street.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And we came across this small group of like maybe 6 or 7 people kind of on the side of the street. And I think what caught my eye was the sign that said, like, young Democrats for Trump. And they were sort of, like, confrontational. And people
a little
were,
bit. They were standing there sort of like a, mm-hmm. like a front. Like, there were gates were right behind them, and they were backed up right to the gate. And they were kind of just, like, standing on their side, like, trying to be visible but not, like, I don't think they were actively being super aggressive. They weren't chanting. But then people from the march started coming up to them, and at one point I said to Jake, like, oh, I feel like this could get bad, or like this could get icky, but it was small. It was very like it wasn't like a huge mob. It was like very small, but then it was also sort of confusing because there's the Young Democrats, and I think somebody had a Bernie thing, and there was just like a lot of different messaging, and so we were just kind of curious, and I was like, let's just like watch for a minute, let's just look for a minute, and then I was like, I kind of got two ideas. I was like, let's see if we can make eye contact. And I just kept saying, like let's just stand here and see if we can make eye contact. And
just to kind of interrupt the dynamic of like confrontation that seemed to be just like what they were expecting and whatever the marchers that were coming by who saw them and wanted to engage them were expecting.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't make eye contact with them though.
And we stood there like not far away from like maybe a yard or 2 yards away from them for a while, and like I don't think they even noticed our presence. And it's not like there were a ton of people around. Like we were standing very close to them, like watching them trying to make eye contact, and and we were not even noticed because it was like the like it seemed like all that was expected was like confrontation, and so like we were not even on their radar almost. It's interesting the way I'm talking about it right now that I feel like I'm othering them.
Right, right. But we actually ended up making so much connection and finding common ground and just like having a really nice time and good conversation with them, and we were talking with them for a good like 3 hours or
wow,
so
three
like
hours.
Yeah.
This is after like being on your feet all day, marching all day.
Yeah. And I like I think the other thing I was like my first instinct was like let's just try and make eye contact, and my second instinct was like let's listen and try and ask like really gentle questions. And so like that was how we first got into a conversation with one guy, and that wasn't like the most interesting or fruitful one, but as that conversation happened and was able to be calm, I was feeling like, you know, eager to like sort of engage with the people around who were like a little more revved up to see if we could like de-escalate and have a more meaningful conversation. And so I think I said to you at one point, I was like, wait, let's try like that guy, you know, because we were like having this calm conversation, and I was like feeling really sensitive to like the more like confrontational aggressive conversations that were sort of happening around us. But the other thing that was cool is it had started as like this front of like one side versus another side, and then once I don't know but like once we started talking, I felt like once we started talking to this one guy who was like he was just calm compared to everybody else was like revved up, that gradually it sort of like settled out and turned into like lots of little groups of people talking to each other more calmly and not like yelling in each other's faces, which was so cool. But but I was like eager to like engage the people who were yelling more and see if we could like bring it down, and like we like the guy Chris that we talked to for a while was like pretty revved up initially, and all I said was like I like put my kind of like hands up, like it's just I'm a teacher, I did it like my teacher instincts are kicking. I was just like, whoa, like slow down, it's okay, like I just want to talk to you. And we talked about guns, and we talked about one guy was like a libertarian, and the other two were lesbians who had come from Pittsburgh for the demonstration and had had a sign that said
I'm an American first, a lesbian second, and I voted for Trump. That was her sign.
Yeah, so we talked about race and if what was structural racism, and it was so interesting because like throughout the conversation there were like lots of points of total like agreement and connection, and then we would find lots of points of like, oh, we just don't see eye to eye on this, but like respectfully.
And it was really neat to be able to find those points where we like through our conversation could identify and actually like frame those points that we realized like, okay, here we've narrowed in on where the disagreement is, and like treat that as a positive aspect of the conversation.
Right.
Like, oh cool, like okay, we figured this out. This is where I think we agree on all these things, but we don't see eye to eye on this thing, or we have different definitions here which maybe are more compatible than we think they think they are, but we're using our words differently. And
I mean, we told like there were lots of like personal stories shared on both sides, I think, and like I don't know, it would take a long time to recount the whole thing because we talked for like 3 hours. But one of the other interesting dynamics was that like the march was still going on by like walking on by us, the street was still shut down with people just walking through it, like but like really mellow because it was like the tail end of like people filtering out of the ellipse. All of a sudden it was clear, like we had put our signs down and we didn't have anything like marking us as women's marchers. And these people had like, one of them had on a like Trump is my president red sweatshirt, and the other one had like a pink Trump hat. And so people walking by like were assuming, we just like knew that people walking by were like assuming we were Trump supporters, which was just like an interesting
being profiled like that.
Yeah.
And also like there were a few Trump supporters that would come by and come up to the group and like give a high five to the people we were talking to. It was very bizarre, but like it definitely like, I don't know, definitely like perspective expanding.
And I mean we ended up walking back to the metro with Lori and Don, and we encountered a few groups of, you know, there were, you know, women's marchers all over the city kind of filtering in and out, and it was really interesting to just like, it felt like kind of just a taste of how how it feels to be looked at as something
that you're not, to be profiled.
Yeah, to be profiled, which you don't really, it's hard to come by actually, especially.
And at the same time, I also found myself starting to sort of like profile or make judgments about people that were in the Women's March with us because there were so many people that we watched like walk by and offhandedly just like be aggressive. And so like there was one point where I was sort of like trying to do like de-escalating on both sides, like, whoa, like calm down. We're just trying to have a conversation. But I also found myself starting to like be like, oh, like a lot of these people are probably ignorant because like they aren't having it was like we were all kind of just in this other world. But yeah, we exchanged phone numbers with three or four of the people that we talked to. And I mean, at the end we like we fried and we were just like looking at the maps and figuring out directions back to the metro together, and then we were all just like sitting on the floor in the wall against the wall in the metro, like not even really like talking that much anymore. But then like something came up and I was like, wait, what? She was talking about they were all so anti-immigrant, and I was like really trying to understand what that was about. I think it was like the nationalism, but she was talking about
apparently a gay Mexican man who was there for the inauguration yesterday, who was holding a sign that the message was basically like, I made it like the legitimate way, and I don't want, like, basically Mexico should pay for the wall, and I don't want to bring the Mexican nightmare here with me or whatever.
Yeah.
So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. You can listen to archived editions of Out There at weatherbeer.com/out there. And also Valley Free Radio streams online at valleyfreeradio.org. That clip was just talking with Julie and Jake after the Women's March on Washington on January 21st, 2017. And the conversation they got into with some Trump supporters at the end of the march. That's just about it for my Women's March clips. I'm thinking right now of a bumper sticker I saw today that says, "Don't postpone joy." And then another quote that I've been thinking of lately is, it goes something like, "Hopelessness is the tool of tyrants." This is the Chorale Sainte-Famille. Sorry, I don't speak French.
Si on a
See you.
That was Sia Hamba, also We Are Marching in the Light of God, by the Nouvel Album Chorale Saint Famille, I think from the Congo, Brazzaville. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm going to take this time to make a few announcements of upcoming events. For example, tomorrow at Jones Library in Amherst, tomorrow, Thursday, February 16th, from 7 to 9 p.m., is a video talk by Jose Antonio Vargas called Actions Are Illegal, Never People. Vargas tells his story of living as an undocumented immigrant and then coming out very publicly as undocumented. After revealing his status, he was on the cover of Time magazine and continued to work as a journalist. He is an engaging speaker with some important messages for allies. This event is sponsored by Coming Together. And again, it's at the Jones Library in Amherst tomorrow from 7 to 9 p.m. Something else going on. Sunday, February 26th at 2 p.m., Jackie Patterson, who's director of the National NAACP Climate Justice Program, will be speaking at the UU Society in Amherst, Sunday, 2 p.m., February 26th, when Movements Unite for Climate Justice. And there's more events from the Coming Together website. But another event, sorry, I'm trying to multitask, look at the computer and think straight. On Sunday, February 26th, there's a free climbing poetry show in Holyoke at the War Memorial Building, 310 Appleton Street in Holyoke. This is Sunday, February 26th. Climbing poetry for the last 13 years has infused our movements for justice with healing and imagination, inspiring thousands through their award-winning multimedia theater, dual voice, spoken word, visual art, sustainable touring, and community organizing. Co-creators Alexa Garcia and Naima Penniman are cultural architects committed to reframing the story through multi-voice, spoken word, hip-hop, world music, and multimedia theater that translate deep research around the most pressing issues of our time into stunning artistry that catalyzes their audiences to activate the transformation they wish to cultivate within themselves and their communities. And one more, I think there's one more thing I wanted to announce. At East Hampton on February 21st.
What day of the week is that?
That's next Tuesday. There's a city council meeting where they're going to be talking about East Hampton being a sanctuary city. Please come and show your support, especially if you're from East Hampton, at the municipal building, 6 p.m. on February 21st. All right. I don't think I'm going to get to the clips from Mount Moriah, but I do have another clip from my trip that I want to play. So earlier in the show, I was playing all these clips from the Women's March on Washington. Very exciting. 500,000 people there. I was there with my housemates and coworkers. A lot of some of the voices that you heard were my housemates, Annie Doran and Clarissa Lyons and my coworker, Ling Gang. So then I went from that to rural eastern Kentucky to visit my family where I'm from. Actually, the megabus from D.C. down to Knoxville was full of women from the march. A lot of women still wearing their pink pussy hats and just debriefing from the march. It was pretty cool. But then once I got to my parents' place, I felt really isolated, and it's like the county where they live, like 80% of people that voted there voted for Trump. And this is not like I've always been unaware of activism. Of course, I don't know how you want to define that. Anyway, the point is, I felt really isolated, and I was like, you know what? I just want to like go, I don't know, hold a sign in downtown Middlesbrough that says, do you want to talk about immigration? Or just some sign to invite public engagement. But I never did it because I was kind of flustered. Well, I didn't find anyone supportive. Like, I talked to my dad and my brother, and they're like, it's not going to be effective. And part of me wanted to say, well, like, effective at what? It's going to be effective at keeping me from going friggin' crazy because I feel so stymied and muted. But anyway, it did lead to a conversation with the Liberty Tax person. Anyway, let me just play this clip. I'm babbling too much.
So I was thinking about coming to downtown Middlesbrough to hold a sign in solidarity with people holding signs around the country about immigration or breaking down walls or whatever. And I asked my brother and my dad, it's like, you ever seen anyone in Middlesbrough holding any signs? And they're like, nope, nobody but the Liberty Tax person. And so I'm going through Middlesbrough on a Sunday afternoon, and here's the Liberty Tax person. What are you doing today?
Hold the sign.
What's your sign say?
Get $50 now.
Do you get any, do you have much human contact? I mean, do people talk to you or wave or anything?
Yeah, they normally like beep or wave. Some people come out here and talk to me for a while.
Uh-huh. Do you have friends that come out and say hi?
Yeah, I do. A lot of people.
Uh-huh. How often do you do it?
Weekdays, I go from 4 to 6, and then Saturday and Sunday, I work from 1 to 5.
What's your favorite part of the job?
I actually like standing out here talking to people, getting to know different people. Mm-hmm. So it's actually fun.
Uh-huh. You have any least favorite parts?
Standing out here for a long time when it's cold.
Yeah.
Like last Sunday when it snowed, I had to stand out here from 1 to 5.
Did your feet get cold?
Not my feet. Like my hands get cold.
Did you have gloves?
No, I don't like wearing gloves.
Do you have any stories of anything interesting that's happened to you while you've been out here?
Well, not really. Like, the police come out here and they ask me how I'm doing. One woman yesterday came out here and she had a box full of food and she gave me some snacks so I can eat. She said she didn't want me to be hungry. Uh-huh. They're really nice.
Uh-huh. Are you in school?
Yes, ma'am. 10th grade. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to introduce yourself? You can if you want, if you don't.
My name is Kashia Galloway. I'm 16 years old.
Right. How do you think this area compares to other places? I don't know, your experience or experience of other people in your family?
It's actually, like, smaller, so, like, you know more people. They're friendly, though, so I like that.
Mm-hmm. Anything that you would change if you could?
Open more places. Like, they don't have, like, when I used to live, there always used to be, like, a 7-Eleven around the corner, so you could just walk to the corner store and buy, like, slushies in the summer when it's hot. They could open more.
Oh, how do you get to work?
I actually walk. I live, like, 5 minutes away from here, so I just walk.
Oh. Wait, so for this job, does Liberty Taxes do your taxes for your job, or do you have to pay taxes?
When I get paid, they take taxes out of my paycheck.
Yeah. Do you have to file or something? I don't know. You know what? Have you heard of war tax resistance?
No.
That's...
I didn't record the rest of that conversation, but we started getting into war tax resistance just a little bit. And this, if you haven't heard of war tax resistance, it's one way to keep your money from being spent by the federal government for things you don't want it to be spent for. But I would recommend that you take whatever money that you might owe towards taxes and put it towards causes you do support. And in terms of how to resist federal taxes, there's different ways to do it. There's a NUTRIC, like the War Tax Resisters Coordinating Committee. I think they have a website and stuff. There's a website for everything. For me, I just make sure I don't owe enough or don't make enough to owe taxes. And then there's also a little kind of like a loophole, not really a loophole. You can put money in an IRA. Like, I usually make somewhere between, I don't know, like $12,000 and $17,000 a year and haven't owed federal income taxes on that. But I have the freedom to put that money towards things I do support. So the show is coming to an end. Thanks for listening today. Democracy Now! Is coming up at 5 o'clock. And I don't think I have anything else to say, except I'm going to go out with a little ABBA.
I have a dream, a song to sing, to help me cope. If you see the wonder of a fairy tale, you can take the future, even if you fail. I believe in angels, something good in
makes it worth the while. Pushing through the darkness, still alive.